For public comment, Rick Vassler.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, fellow county board. A few months back, we filed a complaint with OSHA, and it had to do with workplace violence. We don't believe the company is doing enough to protect our operators. While it was interesting, when OSHA came in, they interviewed a number of our operators, including myself, and we have a number of our security stewards here that sat in on the interviews with the OSHA investigator. And they came back with a couple of recommendations. One of the problems on workplace violence is there is no base standard set for workplace violence, meaning that if there's a baseline, let's say, on injuries in the workplace, that they look at the baseline, and if it's above that baseline, they can file a complaint or a citation, what it's called. But under workplace violence, there is nothing like that. So they have one of three things that OSHA can do when they go and investigate this. One, they can issue a citation, which is almost unheard of as far as workplace violence. You can go out through the industry and all over the United States and find very few complaints under workplace violence where somebody's issued a citation. The other thing they can do is write a letter of recommendation, which the company doesn't have to follow. And the third thing they can do is do nothing. In this particular case, there was a number of recommendations that OSHA came up with and that they proposed to the company. There will be a letter forthcoming to the company before February 28th that lets them know exactly what their recommendations are. A number of those recommendations are, one of them had to do with installing safety shields, and thank you to the county board and the people that are sitting here for pushing that issue, because there are going to be safety shields installed in our buses. In fact, they are going around now at the workplace. Our operators are taking a look at them, and they're going to be giving comments on what they believe the shields. Also, there's a PIP program that they wanted reinstituted. A PIP program has to do with people that are trained in this field to actually sit down and talk to the operators and let them know what they should be doing in certain situations, which is really important because our operators are threatened every single day out there. They're called names. I don't know, I don't know of any other job where you sit in a little cubicle like you are and you're threatened, called names every day, called out of your name, and you're supposed to just sit there and do nothing. But that's how it is out there with our operators. They have to just sit there, be called names. We have a case right now that's going, in fact, tomorrow myself and Helen Edwards, one of our security stewards, are going to tomorrow because an operator was actually spit on, and he got out of his seat and chased a guy, and he was given a three-day suspension. I don't know if anybody's been spit on here, but this is one of the most degrading things that you can do. And he got out of his seat, and what happened? He got a three-day suspension. That's how much a company protects their operators out there. So there's, like I said, a number of different issues involved in there. The operators will be notified by special bulletins if there are security problems on their routes. And one of the real things that I thought was interesting, that where there's high crime areas, that if operators are believe that there's a situation where even asking for a transfer could cause, and you know our feeling on transfers, which you brought up a number of times in front of this committee and with the company as far as issues, that they're not even supposed to ask them. They're not even supposed to ask them. That's one of the recommendations that OSHA came down with that they are going to talk to the company about. So they also recommended that IMPACT, which is our EAP program, come to the stations once a month to talk to our operators. So there's a number of issues and things that the company can do out there. So they can come up with all the numbers and incidents and all the things they do. But are they really doing enough out there to protect their operators? And that's a question here. We don't believe they are. And with the recommendations that OSHA has set forward that are going to be presented, we want the company to do more because the violence out there, and they don't protect, as Mr. Macon said, our operators when they do get assaulted. This is Herb Forbes. He's our chairman of the union and our security committee, and he'd like to make a few comments.
He is our third card, so
okay.
Feel free to go ahead, Mr. Forbes.
Yes, thank you. I was just handed a grievance form. Just got this in. You just witnessed a smoke screen from the leaders of our company who told you that they do not recall an individual that I got a report here says this individual from KK, one of our KK drivers, notified dispatch on November 31st, 2012, that there was a passenger threatening to kill other passengers, and he had a gun. And he says apparently 911 was not called because CPOs were notified. And indeed, 15 minutes later, CPOs with their four-way flashers pulled in front of the bus. MPD was never on the scene. I have that report here. If anybody would like to read that. So that was just outright, whatever you want to call it, by management. Also, what I wanted to speak on, the last time my constituents and I spoke to a panel such as this, the execs here, we spoke about the negative impact when it comes to transfers. To start with, I've been working with safety now for over a year, and we have incidents where individuals would snatch transfers, threaten the drivers to hand them the transfers. And when we bring this up to management, management said, well, we have to get new fare boxes in before we can get rid of those transfers, which the two animals don't seem to really compute, because you don't need to get a new fare box in to get rid of transfers. We also brought in to the company it just didn't make sense to keep transfer because you're losing tens of thousands of dollars in revenue because of transfer abuse and what have you. We also noticed an increase in assaults, random assaults, SOS, mob beatings, when it comes to our passengers on the bus, where they would just pick out a passenger, whether it was a school kid or whatever, and just randomly assault them and possibly rob them or what have you. We brought this up to the company. So what we did is we pinpointed certain things, and what we said is that we feel that a successful company operates on three premises, those being to successfully generate revenue, ensure employees are in a safe working environment, and keep a steady flow of customers, of diverse customers, and retain them. We explained that eliminating transfers would not only increase revenue by tens of thousands of dollars weekly, but it would also create a safer workplace. We also feel that in order for Milwaukee County Transit to retain a diverse ridership base, execs such as yourself and legislative should work with the union to get the message out that more individuals should ride our buses, and that measures will be taken to ensure that our buses are safe. Measures such as writing laws and backing laws that will invoke stiffer penalties on those who assault passengers and drivers, and that will change those felonious assaults from Class I to Class G felonies. It's time that Milwaukee becomes a front runner when it comes to our bus system, instead of paying second fiddle to cities such as Seattle, which leads the nation when it comes to safety, when it comes to women and children. So here in Milwaukee, I've spoke on this before. We seem to be followers when it comes to certain things. When it comes to our safety issues, it's an easy fix here. Our Packers are losing, the Bucks are losing, but it's time now for our Milwaukee County Transit to start winning when it comes to safety. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your comments. Next up, Mr. Brown, James.
How you doing? Good morning. I'm here kind of to give my assessment. I have a unique background. I'm a bus driver. I got hired about almost 4 years ago. I have about 14 years in law enforcement, so I was a deputy sheriff and a police officer, and I currently am a police officer part-time. So I have a background in law enforcement, and I was trained as a use of force expert, so I have a background that I could bring a little insight into what I see going on here, given the unique perspective that I am a bus driver, and I probably drive the worst route in the city, Route 27. One of the things that I've noticed is that the company, with their so-called experts and people they refer to, is no one has addressed the issue of driver training. When you're a police officer, you're held to a standard based on training. If an attorney gets a hold of a lawsuit, for instance, you get a new taser, Milwaukee Police, all the officers are trained on how to use a taser. If they're not trained and they use a taser improperly, an attorney would come after the department for liability for not training them. When I was trained as a police officer, I was trained on professional communications, which has to do with how to interact with passengers, people, and people you deal with. I'm a bus driver. I never received any training on how to deal with passengers, emotionally disturbed people, violent people, people that are intoxicated, drunk, drug addicts, mentally disturbed, so forth. But yet, we're held to a standard on how to deal with them. Now, the fact that I have a background and experience on how to deal with passengers, I never have a problem. And one of the key issues here that everyone's missing is that you want to prevent the problems from occurring and not react after they occur. Most of the drivers and a lot of problems we have here can be prevented by proper training. And since MCTS has not trained any drivers, I should say, I would personally say there's a liability on their behalf that if I wasn't to come after them to sue them, I would come after the fact that drivers are not trained on how to deal with passengers. Because when a violent person comes on the bus, you treat them differently than you would a normal passenger. Or if a person's having a bad day, just for, no different than if you go to pay a bill and you have to deal with people when it comes to customer service, you have to deal with those people in a different way than you would someone who's not upset or violent, and you have to handle them differently. So the problem I see is that there's a lack of training for drivers. When you're a police officer, you're trained in what they call professional communications, which has to deal with interacting with different types of people. My personal opinion is I believe the transit company should have all the drivers go through a training class on how to deal with, number one, stress, passengers, violent passengers, and people that are not, people who ride MCTS, a lot of them are kicked out of mental health, jail, prison, they're homeless, they got drug problems, and there's issues with these people. So they come onto a bus, and a driver not knowing or trained or not knowing how to deal with them is going to deal with them maybe in the wrong manner. He may look at them wrong. He may say something to them that make them snap. And now this person has a confrontation with a driver who doesn't know what policies or procedures are because the policies and procedures are lacking in any specific – in any. They're vague. They're gray. There's nothing in a policy that says what you can and cannot do. All it says is you cannot leave your seat. So if someone comes on a bus and does something, drivers don't know what to do. They try to react to what they think they should know to do. And then what happens is they're disciplined for something that they're reacting on for what they think they should react on. And the culture that I see being hired here is everyone is scared to do anything until it happens. Me personally, I've been spit on. I didn't react because when I was a deputy, I've been spit on. I've been assaulted as a police officer. So I can handle it differently. But my other drivers, they don't know how to handle it. They may have grown up that if someone confronts them, you confront them back. The company's lacking because they're not addressing any issues when it comes to how to have a driver deal with people that are hostile, that are violent, that are mentally disturbed. All they do is they expect the driver to handle it. And if they don't handle it properly, they discipline them. And so I believe the company should have a training program by professionals, not someone that they think is a professional, someone who actually knows what they're doing, either ex-police officers or someone who acts in the mental health field, to train the drivers on how to handle passengers. That would alleviate probably 98% of these problems that we have occurring. Now, I understand politics are involved and you got budget constraints, but for me personally, people come on, if they're violent or agitated, I just let them come on and ride because I'm not going to bother them over a transfer or pain because now I know it's going to create a problem. But in return, you got this manifested over and over again. You're losing revenue because you got these paper transfers that are irrelevant and no other department, no other transportation probably uses them in the United States because it's obsolete. So we have these paper transfers that causes problems that could be alleviated by eliminating them, having the drivers train properly, having them deal with them. My other issue that I have is when it comes to Wackenhut, when Wackenhut does ride the bus, the passengers behave. They do. Just like with Milwaukee Police Department, any other law enforcement, you can't stop all crime. You can't stop people from coming on the bus and causing problems because they're always going to do it. But having Wackenhut, I've seen them quiet the issue. Same as MPS. I mean, MPD. When MPD comes on my bus or the sheriff's department, you don't hear anything. People just are quiet. People pay their fares. But once they leave, The noise level goes back up, and everyone starts acting up again. But that's no different than if a cop's driving down the street in a squad car, people behave. As soon as he drives away, they start doing what they're going to do again. So my recommendation is I believe drivers should be trained in professional communication skills, which is what police officers are trained in, and it has to do with dealing with people that are emotionally disturbed and violent and so forth. And if you ever ride a transit bus or if you walk down 27th and Atkinson or something, you know what I'm talking about. All these people ride the bus. And when they get on, you got to deal with them. And some drivers, if you look at their track record, I have no complaints. I'm very good. But that's because I know how to handle them. If I came from a background of not knowing how to handle them, it will cause a confrontation. It could cause an assault because your words and actions can trigger someone to react to you. So that's why my recommendation is I think the company needs to institute a policy on training drivers. And I also say it's also a liability issue when it comes to protection from a lawsuit, because that's my first thing that I would attack is I would get the training records, all the operators, and I would grill them under cross-examination on why they are not being trained. And I think the company's liable for that. That's my opinion.
Thank you very much for your comments and your recommendations today. Could you make it short?
Real quick.
All right, thank you.
Well, he said that, and I got to get this also, he said about White Hood, people will respond. Well, actually, that's not totally true. We did have an incident at a school that White Hood actually got jumped on that y'all know about. Since that happened at Groppy School that White Hood was jumped on, White Hood's not showed up back at Groppy School. Why? I couldn't tell you. Groppy School, if anybody don't know Groppy School is a last chance school. One step, the only way to walk on. That's how bad the school is. And at first, we started off, we had the sheriff, we had the police showing up, and we had Wagon Hut. Right now, we have neither. I pretty much did the route a couple weeks ago, and I didn't have any problems because I refused to pick up anybody else other than them. They were clowning back in the bus. They were cussing. They were pushing on each other. You know, all my idea was to do was get them on and get them off. I think now that's what I told my driver to do driving school, get them on, get them off. Less problems. Because if you send Wagon Hut, they're going to be Wagon Hut up again. You know, right now, we would love to have the sheriff, but with his $5,000 for five sheriffs, I know nobody's going to do it. Right now, y'all gave them more security. We haven't really seen them. Like I said, we don't have any after 1 o'clock, and that's the major issue.
All right. Thank you very much. Quick question. Supervisor Borkowski?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would be curious on the whole training issue, okay? What is management's response? I got to believe that... I don't think it's an unreasonable request, and we must be doing something.
I can speak to that, Supervisor. I and the training department coordinate with brand new operators, and they get a passenger interaction program that was created by a professional who trains other transit agencies in working with passengers. It talks about bus operator stress. It talks about passenger stress. It talks about how to read passengers and things like that. It's a four-hour class that I and the other transit trainers give to all new operators. So all new operators do go through passenger interaction training, communication, and stress management.
Okay. Is there a chance that maybe we should do a refresher or something, or every couple of years? I don't know what the timeline would be, but I'm hearing this one driver say that there's that lack of, and so maybe it's time that some of our veteran drivers go through it again.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, we do have what we refer to as refresher training that's provided for the drivers that focuses primarily on drivers that tend to have a higher level of problems with passengers than others, as I think is what's spoken to here by some of the speakers, that some drivers have absolutely no problems with customers on a day-by-day basis, and others tend to have more problems. We make an effort to identify where those problems are occurring, and bring those drivers in for refresher training under the program that Ms. Snyder spoke to.
Okay, right, thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. I believe we're ready to go to item four.
Yeah.
Can I ask something? Well, we do make an announcement before the meeting that if you want to make a comment, that you should submit your card so we can keep the meeting on a timely schedule. So
we're going on to four.
That's right. Well, yes, we'll be moving on to item four. Thanks. No, we're not here to debate the issue. Everybody comments on it.
Well, there's a comment regarding so the training that they said we
Excuse me, sir. This is not. Let's move on to item four.
Ma'am, call item number four, please.